You know, in a lot of things, you have to qualify. I know running track, I ran track in high school. And if you were going to qualify for certain events, like to run in the state meet and so forth and so on, you had to have a certain time in that particular event, or a certain distance if you throw in the shot or the discus. If you run in the mile, you had to come in a certain deal. You had to qualify. Even how many of you have ever bought something? You got a loan. Did you have to qualify? You had to qualify, right? Well, you know, actually, there's qualifying to receive God's blessings. You know, I mean, it's great. We had a great camp meeting, and I mean, camp meeting. I'm already into camp meeting. Winter Bible's ungone, but we had a great winter Bible. And, everybody likes to hang around those great spiritual experiences. But if we're going to qualify for all the blessings of God, we can't camp here and just sit around and talk about how great it was. You know, to qualify, you have to know what the parameters are. And, several years ago, there was one of the sports companies had a slogan, just do it. Sometimes that's what we need to do in order to qualify, just do it. Somebody said, I know one of the guys, when we run a track, one of the guys said, I don't think I can do that. And I looked at him, that was years ago before that company was ever in existence. And I just looked at him, I said, just go do it. You know, he was all worried that he couldn't qualify. And I just told him, just go do it. Sometimes we just need to get the attitude, I'm just going to do it. No matter what happens. You know, and I don't know about how they do annuals and stuff now, but when I was in school, high school, they always put a saying by at the seniors. They always had everybody had a little saying they put by their picture. Anybody been meeting? Oh yeah, I got several. Well, there's one old boy. This was his saying. I love work. I can watch it all day. That same guy cost us a championship too on the track field because he didn't put the work in to be in shape to do what he was supposed to do. He watched us run and he didn't do it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You know, in the spiritual world, did you know we have spectators? But if you're going to qualify for the promises, you got to be a participant. There's a lot of people that just enjoy being a spectator, sitting around and watching. In fact, I played on teams where some of the guys, it didn't matter whether they ever played or not. They just was there on the sidelines just watching. I told one old boy one day, I said, listen, if I'm going to put out the effort, you practice just as hard as I do every day, and you're satisfied just to get out here and not, you won't do anything extra. He said, well, I just enjoy being here and being with the guys. I said, well, hey, it's fun to be here with the guys, but hey, it's more fun when you participate. And there's a lot of people just sit on a pew, oh man, isn't this great? Oh, I'm just enjoying this. This is so much fun. But hey, it's a whole lot better when you participate. That's why I always keep telling you, get involved. Oh, that worked in good, didn't it? That wasn't in a note, so. But did you know there are conditions in qualification? Now let's go to Matthew 7:24. I'm going to read this from the New King James and the NLT. Okay. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains ascended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, here in the NLT, it says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it will not collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and does not obey it is like a foolish person who builds a house on the sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Now, the problem that many people get when they read this is they begin to try to figure out who the rock is. Some of them say it's Jesus. Some of them say it's the Word of God. But identifying the rock is not the main thing about this verse of Scripture. Here, Jesus is concentrating on what happens to a person who hears and obeys the Word of God, and what happens to a person who does not obey God's commands. That's really the thought of the Scripture there. And many people, they get hung up and they get to debating what the rock is. Well, it doesn't matter what the rock is. Evidently, if you look at it from the way I'm talking about it, it's the Word of God that he's talking about. But that's neither here nor there. It's what we do with what we hear. Hello. You got to have the right priorities. You know, Jesus indicates, you know, that they're in other places we read that they're hearers but not doers. You know, we got a lot of hearers, but we don't have many doers sometimes. You know, you got to obey his commands. In my book, Life of Obedience, I said this: obedience is the underlying theme of the entire Word of God. How pertinent this subject is to the church today. If you never read that book, it's a good book. Go get it. It's out there in the bookstore. It's called The Life of Obedience. Now, most people don't lie. That's not a word that you tack on the refrigerator and see every day. Because obedience makes you do things that you don't want to do sometimes. And that brings me to Isaiah 1:19. Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. Now, there's a lot of people that are obedient sometimes, but they're not willing. Come on. You know, the little boy, the teacher told him to sit down and be quiet. He said, I may be sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. He was obedient, but there wasn't any willingness there, right? I remember when Dad first left that church in 49, went out on the field, and things weren't going good and so forth and so on. And he began to pray, and he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm doing what you said to do. I'm obeying you. I'm doing what you said to do. And I'm not, that Isaiah 1:19 is not coming to pass. And the Lord told him, he said, yeah, you're obedient. You're doing it. But the will's not there. Come on now. Help me understand what I'm saying to you. Oh, I must not be getting that point across because nobody said anything. Or maybe it's because that you realize you need to make some adjustments. It says, if you're willing and obedient, not just obedient, willing and obedient. You know, Dad said it didn't take him very long to make some adjustments. And actually, I was actually taking that from his book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity, on page about 5-9, if you want to go find out where I got that from, okay? Actually, I knew about it personally anyway, but, you know, it's good to go back and refresh yourself with it. Amen. and willing and obedient. Say it, willing and obedient. Not just one or the other, but both. That brings God's blessings. And then, of course, that's going to take us to James 1. James 1. I'm just doing a little Bible lesson this morning on willingness and obedience. That's what brings the blessing. Look at this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone hears if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word, and continues in it, and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the works, this one will be blessed in what he does. It says here that you're deceiving yourself if you're hearing the word and then thinking that God's going to bless you. It says you got to be a doer as well. You've got to do what he tells you to do. That qualifies you to receive God's blessings. Well, obeying the word is like sowing a seed. Now we're getting close to the spring. And how many of you are already preparing your ground and you're getting it tilled up and for a garden? Maybe not a whole, but maybe just using a flower bed. Or how many of you plan on raising something, you know? Yeah. But you have to get the ground ready. You have to plant the seed and then forget about it. No, you have to keep doing, right? You have to keep doing. What do? Well, you make sure that it gets water. You make sure that the weeds don't come in and choke it out. You make sure that some animal doesn't come along and dig up the seed. Hello? And a lot of times you have to use some kind of a fertilizer, right? All of that is, we get the word planted in us, but then we have to continue to cultivate that word, just like we do a seed, until there's a harvest. Now, look at what it says in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. This is the Lord talking to Israel, but it's good for us too, because Paul told us that everything that happened to Israel was examples for us, what we should do and what we're not to do. All right, Deuteronomy 28:1-2. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the other nations. You will experience all the blessings. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord. What are blessings? The blessings, if you go on and read what the blessings are, you'll be blessed in the field, you'll be blessed in your basket, you'll be blessed in the store. How many of you have read all that, those things? Huh? And then he tells you what's going to happen if you don't. Isn't that the same thing that we read when we first started out back there in Matthew 7:24? If you do what the word says, your house stands. If you don't, your house don't stand. If you don't obey the commands. Isn't that what it said? Doesn't that coincide with what this scripture right here is saying? Yeah. See, in the Old Testament, they had a whole lot of commands that they had to obey, commandments, which if they did them, they would experience the blessings of God. In the New Testament, we exercise our faith in the promises of God and receive the blessings. That's what our commandment is, to obey what he told us to do. Now, this is the feeding of the 5,000 can be used in 500,000 different ways to teach different things. But I'm going to use it this morning in this way. When you obey the word of God, then you experience the supernatural. Now it says when he heard it, he departed from there by boats and deserted place. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Jesus went out and he saw the great multitude. He was moved with the compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place and the hour is late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy some food." But Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them to me." Then here's what I want you to get a hold of. Then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So that they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments or leftovers. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. Now I want you to notice something here. Everybody always zeroes in on the fish and the loaf and the bread. But here he commanded the people to do something. He commanded them to sit down. You know, you see this throughout the Word of God. He commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree, and they did anyway. Look what happened when they disobeyed. I want you to see what happens when you disobey the commands. And now, in feeding of the 5,000, look at this. The command of what he told them to do put them in a position to receive. He told them to sit down. Now, what would have happened if they said, "Well, that don't make any sense. What are we doing this for? What are we sitting down for? I don't want to sit out on that grass. I'll get grass stains on me. Maybe I can't get them out." And then one guy might say, "Hey, I don't have time to sit down, man. Look, I know what time it is. If I start right now, I can be at a place where I can buy food in about an hour or so." See, if we're not careful when we read the commands of God, if we're not careful, we will talk our own self out of it. What would have happened if the people hadn't sat down? He told them, sit down. Now, I want you to notice something here. Sitting down at the command, they expected to receive something. Come on now. See, I told you I'm going a different direction with this. When they followed that command, when you follow the commands of the Word of God, you follow them because you're expecting to receive something. Many times, we're always praying and asking God, but sometimes we don't really expect. I did a whole series on expect here a year or two ago. They put it in a book out there. Go get it and read it. Might help you. If you don't expect something, you don't get nothing. Come on now. You know, somebody said, "Well, you're talking about works." No, I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about doing what the Bible says to do. The Bible does tell us that we need to do these things. Some people call it work. I don't know. But obedience is an expression of your faith in God and believing what he said or believing his commandments. Hey, if you're not happy with your level of life right now, check up on your obedience to the word. Oh, Got awful quiet, didn't it? Let me say this. If your level of obedience is not what it should be, then your level of blessing will not be what it should be. That's just a simple statement, but it's the truth. Now, take inventory of your life. Take inventory. It don't hurt to check up on yourself every once in a while. And see where your obedience is. Following the commands that God has given us. What about our daily Bible reading? What about our prayer life? What about our church attendance? He said, forsake not to assemble yourself together. What about your tithes and offerings? What about serving in the church? What about keeping yourself in subjection to the Word of God through discipline? Hey, come on now. That's not shouting stuff. But it's something that will qualify you for blessing. I'm talking about qualifying yourself. I preached a sermon, it's several years back now, I guess. Moving the hand of God. Anybody remember that sermon? I got one person raise their hand. Oh, I can preach that again. Oh, there's two people. I can preach that again. Because only two people remember it. That's good. That's already prepared. I won't even have to prepare it. It's already. Now, in that message, I made a statement. I said, obeying the commands of God will move the hand of God. You know, we have to keep doing what God told us to do. Sometimes we get tired. But Paul tells us in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, or while doing the commandments that God told us to do. For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. You know, if we don't quit. NLT says it like this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, and at just the right time we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up or don't quit. Now it says here, in due season. There is the planting season, there's the doing season, and there's the harvest season. I see too many Christians that want to skip the doing season and go straight to the harvest. The harvest comes, or the blessing comes, after we have been doing what the Word told us to do. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Now, this is probably not something you haven't heard before, but it's just a little bit, I'm approaching it a little different from, you know, a mountain is the same mountain. It's just different. And if you climb it from one area, it looks one way. You climb it the other side, it looks like something else. So I'm just trying to remind you of all this stuff, stir you up to get you back in to the qualifying for all the blessings of God. If we keep doing what we're supposed to do, harvest will come. We have to refuse not to quit doing what we're supposed to do. We have to refuse to quit believing God. Sometimes people quit believing God because something didn't happen that they thought should happen. Hey, God is still God, and the Word is still the Word of God, whether it happened or whether it didn't happen. Don't lose faith. I don't either. But I'm not going to give up on God. I don't understand why everybody don't get saved when I preach. But I'm not going to quit preaching salvation because somebody didn't get saved. I had a guy not very long ago. I mean, oh, well, when I say very long ago, it could have been 5 years, because the way I go, I said something about something, and my wife said, oh, that was five. I said, what? I thought it was just last year. She said, that's 5 years ago. Anyway, this guy said to me, I don't know why you keep preaching healing. I know that there are people in your prayer line that didn't get healed. I said, yeah, and I know people that did. Well, you know, that's right, too. I said, I'm not going to quit eating steak just because I saw one in the trash can. And I'm not going to quit praying for people just because somebody didn't get healed. Come on now. Healing is still in the Word, whether they get it or whether they don't get it. And I look at it like this. If they didn't get healed and they go to heaven, well, they got it one way or the other. Because there ain't no sick people in heaven. Excuse me. Y'all gonna have to bear with me. I got a little bit of congestion, but that's all right. I just keep going anyway. You know, you gotta refuse when the devil wants you to, oh, well, hey, you can lay off Bible reading and prayer for a day or two. It won't hurt anything. You got to put the devil aside when he tells you, oh, it's all right to quit going to church. You can watch it online. Watching online is not like being here. Thank God for online. And if you can't be here, it's great. But if you can't, you know, that's good. Because there's something about when you come together in serving God, and when you come together, there is a strength that you draw from each other. Amen. Many people say, oh, well, no, I can't pay my tithes. I can't give offering. Yes, you can. If you don't, you're not going to get the blessing. I mean, since I've been a little boy, I've paid tithes. I've paid tithes since I've been a little boy, because I learned that. We were right after we first got married, I guess, Annette, she's always done all the bills at home. She takes care of the finances, and that's good. I don't have to mess with it. You know, I told her she's better at that than I am, and she got to take care of back when we got married, I said, you got to take care of the house, and when we have kids, you got to do that, so you just take care of the finances. I couldn't tell you what we got in the, I don't even know what we got in the bank. I'm serious. I hadn't wrote a check in years, unless she'd give it to me or told me to fill it out. Some one guy told me, he said, well, man, you're not much of a man. I said, well, let's go. This is years ago. I said, well, let's go out here behind the church and find out how much a man I am. When you're 27, 28 years old and somebody challenges you and you just got out of the army 2 years ago, that don't go over very good. It still don't go over very good with me anyway. But she said, there is not, our disbursements this month is more than our income. There is no way. And so the devil tempted her, said, well, why don't you not pay your tithes and you can catch up next week? She started to do that, but then the Lord arrested her and she realized. So that's the check she wrote out first. And since that time, that's the first check she writes out every time we get our paycheck. That's her first check she writes. We ended up the end of that month, and neither one of us still don't know how it happened, but we paid all the bills and still have $5 in our bank account. I have no idea how it happened. But, hey, I believe when you follow and do what God tells you to do, you'll be blessed. You know, the devil said, oh, well, you've already worked in the church for a while. You can quit. Now, no, you can't. Sir, quit. Refuse what the enemy is telling you to quit serving in the local church. Boy, that went over good, didn't it? You want the blessing? You better qualify. Come on now. Somebody said, well, I did what God said to do for 3 days and I don't see no blessing. because that's the society we live in today. They want it immediately. Too many people quit too soon. Didn't that say, that scripture we just read said, don't become weary, but keep on doing it. In due season, when it's time, you keep on. You keep on watering that plant, that tomato plant. You keep on watering it. You keep on taking care of it. You put something out there so the birds won't come and peck holes in those tomatoes. And when the time comes, now you begin to see a little green and then it gets bigger, bigger, and you got a big old green tomato out there. That's when you pull them off and slice them up and fry them, have fried green tomatoes. Anybody ever have fried green tomatoes? They're pretty good. But I tell you what, you wait. I don't know much about it, but I know that down there, my father-in-law, he always had a big old garden. Craig, you remember Granddaddy's garden out there? And he grew these, they call them big toms, big old tomatoes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, man, you slice that up and slice it pretty thick, it would cover the whole hamburger. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, man, they're really good, too. But you got to wait to the season of harvest. We used to have an old pear tree out at 400 South 3rd. That thing had, the ice had broke it off, and it was a horrible-looking tree. But that thing would yield more pears than you could shake a stick at. And I told Grandma, she was living in my mom's mom, Grandma. I'd say, Grandma, man, there's a bunch of pears out there. And she would always make pear preserves and pear jelly. She would cut the pears up, make preserves, and then she'd boil all the peelings and make pear jelly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All I know is that she did it. I know how it happened. But I liked it. She would always fix me a couple of special jars of candied. They were candied preserves. And I told her, I said, Grandma, man, there's a lot of pears. Is it time? And she said, well, let me go out there and check. She'd feel of them. No, it's not time to harvest them yet. I said, well, some are falling off. I said, that's all right. That's the ones that ain't any good. They can't mature. But man, when it was the right time, I go out there and pick all them pears off there, and that jelly was good, and those preserves were really good. But if you pick them ahead of time, before they mature, you can go ahead and it's all right, but it's not, don't taste as good as when you wait to that exact moment. You see, there's a lot of people trying to get their blessing too soon. Well, I better go on. That ain't going over very well. I want to read James 2:17-18 from the Weymouth translation. Now, Weymouth lived a long time back, but he has some really good stuff in his translations. It says, so also faith, if it is unaccompanied by obedience, has no life in it, so long as it stands alone. Nay, someone will say, you have faith, I have actions. Prove to me your faith apart from your corresponding actions, and I will prove mine to you by my actions. Now, my dad used to have a sermon called Corresponding Actions. And when I was in Canterville Bible Academy, a junior up there, we had to write in Brother Schaefer's class. Dad Schaefer, he was the head of the whole thing. We had to write a paper. It was a Bible class, and we had to write a paper. And so I just got Dad's sermon, Corresponding Actions. I wrote a paper on Corresponding Actions. I got a double A plus. because Dad Schaefer really liked what I said. But you see, you can say you believe God, but unless you have corresponding actions or obedience to do what the Word says, here, the way he said, it has no life in it. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Now, a lot of people love to talk about faith, but they don't like to talk about action. Action. When I teach on healing, it's one of the things I do. I show that the woman with the issue of blood had action. The four men that brought the crippled man in Luke 5:17, where it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but none of them got healed except the man. It said, when he saw their faith, the one with the issue of blood said, when he said, lady, your faith has done it. Blind Bartimaeus called out to the Lord, got up and went to the Lord, left his cloak that said, I'm a blind beggar. And Jesus said to him, your faith. All of them had some action, our obedience. So you need to learn to follow up your believing with action of obedience. When our believing and our actions come into agreement, then we qualify for the blessing. When our believing and our action, our obedience to the Word, when they come together, then we put ourselves in a qualifying position. You know, there's an old song we used to sing, and the chorus of it went like this, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, just trust and obey. Anybody ever sung that before? Trust, faith, obey. Trust and obey. Have faith and obey. You know, some people are wondering why they haven't received anything. Oh, I believe the promises of God. I've been confessing the promises of God. Well, are you obeying what the promises of God said, or are you just confessing them? See, if you want to see the blessing come, not only do you believe the Word and confess the Word, you obey the Word. Then will come the blessing, and then you will receive everything that my Word says belongs to you. But as long as you just confess and say you believe without action, I can't move. But the minute you put some action to your believing, I will move in your behalf, and you'll see that things will begin to change. And oh, great will be the victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, that wasn't in here. That was the Spirit of God saying something to you. Everybody stand. I preached long enough. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Remember, it's obedience to what you believe the Word says. Amen. Heavenly Father, I tried to stir up these people's pure minds today to realize that faith is great and faith is good, but without action or obedience, then nothing can come of it. Help us all to always check up on ourselves and make sure that our obedience is in line with our faith, so we qualify for the blessing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. You got something you want to sing, Dan?